Lecture topic, total obedience to Allah Ta'ala.
وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and sisters, once one alim was traveling somewhere in one of the Middle Eastern countries, and as they were going along somewhere, so the they happened to pass by a very huge building, and you can make out that some building is still carrying on. It is different properties. If you see now, one house finished off, or one some property or building finished off, now somebody else or something else. Here you can see it's the same thing carrying on. So quite a distance, that same boundary wall or whatever it was. So in any case, this alim asked the driver who was a local person taking him along. He asked him, is this some government building or what is this? So he said, no, this is the house. House meaning now you're driving, and you're probably now driving for 2-3 minutes and you still didn't finish passing. Couple hundred meters already now. Maybe. So what kind of house is this? No, the house of the richest person that lives in this, what is it, country area for whatever, some problems or something. So now in any case, the person who are we talking about, one of the Middle Eastern countries, and that person must have been worth, Allah knows best, billions maybe. He said, this is the house of the wealthiest person here. Then he mentioned something. He said he passed away a couple of days before that. So now while they were still now passing that property and happened to be talking now, he says he passed away just a week ago. Then he mentioned another very ajeeb thing. He said it just happened that where he was buried, in the general Qabristan graveyard, so he happened to be buried next to a grave where just a few days prior to that, one person passed away who was a complete nobody, used to be living, so to say, on the street. He didn't have one thing to his name. He owned nothing. He happened to pass away. People found him, just whatever, wherever, however they found him, passed away. So then the necessary rites were performed, and then he happened to be buried just there, and 2 days later, or 1-2 days later, this person passed away. So now, so to say, the wealthiest person of that whole country or area or whatever, he's buried, and next door to him was the poorest person that was buried. Now if anybody standing there by those two graves, they won't make out the difference. Because fortunately, in that part of the world, they don't allow all these fancy things to be, which is wrong, shouldn't be built, the grave should not be having all these fancy things around it, all walls surrounding it and so on. So both graves were completely plain. Now somebody standing there in front of those two graves, he cannot make out any difference that this was the sort of king and this was a pauper. He can't make out any difference. On the surface, while they were both living, in terms of the outward things, there was a very big difference that could be seen in terms of the material things. That in terms of the material things, this person was a king, this person was a pauper. So outwardly, on the surface, there was a very big difference in terms of the outward side of things. At the side of the grave, you can't make out any difference. But under the grave also, Allah knows best what's the difference. The difference is not going to be inside the grave, not going to be what was the external situation here in dunya, in terms of material things. That if the person outwardly, in terms of material things, was a king, he lived a life of a king, or whatever, so then his grave is going to be accordingly. Somebody was a pauper, then his grave is going to be also, no, whether the person was a king or whether he was a pauper. It would depend on what was his inside, what was his heart, what was his iman, what was his amal as well. But the main thing is going to be his heart. So now whether it was the king or the pauper, if he lived a life where he made his heart, then sometimes somebody, Allah Ta'ala blessed the person with some dunya as well, used it correctly, made shukr to Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And if the person didn't have the dunya also, but lived a life in obedience to Allah Ta'ala, then the short life of dunya is going to pass sooner or later, but now the difference will happen under the surface of this earth. That cover in which the person has been made to rest, if the person lived a life of obedience to Allah Ta'ala, had made one's heart. And what does it mean to make one's heart? That the heart was now filled with iman, the strength of iman, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of deen, the amal of deen, having a clean and pure heart, heart full of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, taqwa, tawakkul, and trust in Allah Ta'ala, having a heart filled with generosity, with compassion, with kindness, with forgiveness, and all the other noble qualities of iman. So now that person, whether they were, the person was a king or a pauper in dunya, but now when he's laid to rest in his grave, that grave will become a garden of Jannah for him. And that grave will become a means of peace and happiness that we can't imagine. And Allah forbid that if the person didn't live a life of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, the heart was not made, regardless of whether the person was a pauper, whether the person was a king. But dunya became just a passing phase, without concern of the akhirat, without any concern to make the heart. And now such a person was laid to rest in the grave, there's no rest. That's called laid to rest, but there will be no rest. Allah save us and protect us. That person, Allah forbid, if Allah's forgiveness doesn't come, then that person, if there's no iman, then this perpetual doom from that moment. And even a mu'min who lived his life or her life away from Allah's obedience, then that could be the start of all the problems. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he would come to the grave and he would cry profusely. So people would ask him once that at the mention of death also you cry so much, and you come to the grave, you cry so much. Other things about akhirat also discussed sometimes, but that doesn't move you to the extent that this moves you. So he should respond and say, this is the first step of the akhirat. If this goes right, then inshallah everything else will also go right. And if this first step goes wrong, person gets caught up in azab, Allah forbid, then what's going to come might be worse. So this is the biggest fear, that how will things fare for me in the qabr? Now this is the lesson, that a personality like Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, who was he? The son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Zulnurain. He had been married to one daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After she passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got him married to the second daughter. And even after the second daughter passed away, he said, if I had many other daughters, I would have got them one after the other married to Usman. This close contact, one of the Ashara and Mubashara, one of those 10 Sahaba who in one sitting, in one hadith, in one statement, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave all these 10 Sahaba the glad tidings of Jannah. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the glad tidings of Jannah to somebody, then that is it, that is endorsed. But despite all these great accolades, on one occasion when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked the Sahaba to contribute towards one expedition, and it was a very difficult time, and Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu contributed in a very big manner. 1,000 horses laden with all the provisions and so on, so many other things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that coins that he had presented also contributed, he was flipping those coins, and he said, nothing can harm Usman after this contribution is made for deen. And the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijrat to Madinah Munawwara, and this water was wherever it was very, it wasn't suitable for drinking. There was one well with sweet water. It belonged to a Jew, but he wanted a very hefty price. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who would buy this and make it free for everybody to use? Usman ibn Affan paid a very hefty price, like something is worth maybe 10,000, he paid like maybe 100,000. Paid a very big price for it, because this Jew was now extracting every bit out of it. And after he bought it, he made it free for the entire community and all the mu'mineen to use it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who does this, for him is Jannat. All these glad tidings, all these endorsements, what is his, the condition of his heart? Just the mention of death, and he is very concerned. He's concerned about his qabr. How would things go in the grave? Now let us ask ourselves, what is our level of concern for our akhirah? Now this is a regular thing that's happening with him. Every time somebody mentions death, somebody mentions the qabr, and he's now moved to such an extent, which shows what's in his heart. When a person's heart is really filled with some concern, then just one slight mention about it, person is very, very attached to someone, and that person passed away. Now that attachment is very deep. Some days have passed, weeks have passed, sometimes months have passed, and somebody just by chance now just mentioned the name or anything really, and this person already tears, which shows that thought is still so filled in the heart, and that attachment is still so deep. Now Sayyidina Usman ibn Affan, any mention of death is moving into tears, which means his concern was so high and so filled in his heart. Now that was his condition. Now for myself to reflect, and for all of us to reflect, once a day also, do we sit back and think? Sit back in the sense that now clear our minds out of everything and ponder and think that my death could come anytime. I don't know whether I'll survive tonight, whether I will see tomorrow morning. What preparation have I made for my qabr? How will things go for me in the qabr? Have I made tawbah from all the things that I should have made tawbah from? What will be the condition when the angels will ask me the question in the grave? Munkar and Nakir will come and they will ask, Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And that question now already will be discussing it. We are already discussing the question, meaning the examination paper, the questions are out. And this is question one, Man Rabbuk. Now we can all memorize it, we all know the answer, Rabbi Allah. But that's the answer of the tongue, that's the answer in theory, but in the qabr, it is the heart and the a'mal that will speak. What kind of heart the person had, what kind of life he lived in this world. So his life was a life where he recognized his Rabb. And he lived in obedience to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And he will spontaneously respond, Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah, my Rabb was Allah. One person saw Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayha in a dream after she passed away. So, after she passed away, now somebody saw her in a dream. Allah Ta'ala makes these things known sometimes in this way. So some pious person saw her in a dream. And now in the dream he's seeing that the angels have come to now question her. Now in the dream, he's seeing this whole scene, that the angels have come to question her. And they're asking her, Man Rabbuk? Who's your Rabb? So in turn she's asking the angel, that where you've come from? So I've come from the heavens. All the way from the heavens. You see, when you come all the way from the heavens, you come down now from such a distance. Have you forgotten who's your Rabb? Say, no, I haven't forgotten who's my Rabb. See, when you came all the way from the heavens, you haven't forgotten who's your Rabb. I came from just the surface of the earth, few feet down, you think I'm going to forget. Now, this was obviously a dream somebody saw, but Allah Ta'ala made this apparent, meaning that this was such a deep iman in her. Allah Ta'ala made it, perhaps that was the exact thing that happened in the grave. That she started asking the angel the question. The angel came to question her, you know, what do you want here? This thing is turning that way around. But then Allah Ta'ala, his special servants, what connection they had with Allah Ta'ala, but how they annihilated themselves. Once Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali was a very great personality among the Sayyidul Tabi'een. So now, Rabia Basira, she came to the bank of the river, maybe to fetch water or whatever, and she sees that now these are some spiritual states. These people used to sometimes come with. We hardly know about these things, we hardly know about anymore nowadays. Illa mashallah, Allah knows best his servants. So he had put his musalla onto the water and he was performing salah. Now they must have been some spiritual state that overcame him at that time. He saw nobody around, and in that maybe this would have created an even greater khushu, standing on the surface of the water, flowing water and performing salah. Rabia Basira Rahmatullah happened to come past and she noticed this. In any case, after Hasan Basira Rahmatullah finished his salah, so she now, these people are on a different level. We cannot understand this in our capacity, on our level. But in any case, what she did was, she put her musalla on the air. Now this is karamat, karamatul awliya al-haqqun. The karamat, even the sahaba kiram, there were some sahaba who Allah Ta'ala blessed them with karamat. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he's standing in Madina Munawwara, and Sharia radiallahu ta'ala is commanding an army far away, hundreds of kilometers away, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala is on the mimbar giving a khutbah. The sahaba are all present, and in the midst of the khutbah, he is now suddenly in the midst of the khutbah, he said, Ya Sharia al-Jabal. Ya Sariya al-Jabal. Sahabas, confused, they, what's going on here? In the middle of this khutbah, he's saying, Oh Sariya, the mountain, the mountain. Any case, on the other end, far off, hundreds of kilometers away, Sariya radiallahu ta'ala is commanding this army, and now they're becoming a little bit in a challenge with the enemy. The enemy was about to now take sort of, get the upper hand. And suddenly they can hear this voice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the mountain. So now they thought about it and they realized we should move in the direction towards the mountain, and that would be the means of now coming out of this difficulty that we are challenged by. And they made a maneuver and they somehow turned towards where there was a mountain somewhere close by, and they got into that mountain and they got the upper hand eventually. In any case, they defeated the enemy. Now this was a strange thing that happened. They came back eventually to Madina Munawwara, very victorious. When they came back, so the people who were in Madina Munawwara, they asked them that, look, did anything extraordinary happen? They said, yes, there was some very ajeeb thing happened. We were in this situation and it was like become very difficult. It was a scary moment that the enemy might take the upper hand. And then we heard this voice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, and this made us realize this is the maneuver we should make. And we did this, and that became the means of finally getting the upper hand. When this happened, they described, it was it was a Jumu'ah, and around so much time after the midday, so well, that's the time we heard Umar radiallahu ta'ala on the minbar saying, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, that's the time you all heard it there. Allah opened the whole scene in front of him, and from here he is commanding that army. And it's a karamat. Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah's qudrat. When Allah wills, Allah gives somebody that qudrat for that. So, Rabia Basira Rahmatullah Alayha, she put her musalla on the air. Now imagine, 1 meter above the ground, somebody's musalla is there, and they are performing salah. Now if we had to suddenly walk in somewhere, and we see somebody performing salah on the air, our air will come out, and they might have to bury us, because we will see this, and this will be some really ajeeb, unimaginable thing. We will fall, collapse immediately. Any case, Hasan Basira Rahmatullah saw this, so he realized now there's some message here for me. She completed her salah, and then she said to him that, look, neither is there any kamal and any achievement in putting the water on the musalla on the water. Even the fish, they are swimming in the water. So what's the kamal? You are the water, the fish are in the water. You're not better than the fish. And there's no kamal and achievement of putting the musalla on the air, because the flies are also flying around in the air. But now listen to this carefully and think carefully. She was giving a lesson to him. Though he saw nobody around, some spiritual state might have come to him, so he did this. Now she's giving a lesson that, look, this itself is not an achievement. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has some in'am, and Allah has one blessing on somebody, that Allah gives them the supernatural things, sometimes some karamat. But that itself doesn't make it an achievement, that a person now has become something. What makes it an achievement is a person has totally given themselves in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. They are fulfilling what Allah Ta'ala has commanded. They are refraining from whatever Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. They are fulfilling the spirit of deen. They are living on the spirit of deen. Not just now skirting things. Okay, this is permissible, that is permissible. But then half the time it's now past that line of permissibility too. And then anything and everything goes. Now they are trying to find permissibility somewhere. Finding, okay, but that person said it's okay. Somebody where else, they don't even know, some other part of the world, some YouTube scholar, he said, no, this is okay, and then in a public place now, some panel is okay, and this is okay. Everything becomes okay, and the whole spirit of deen is collapsed, and then even the boundaries of deen already then transgressed. In any case, she said, even a fly, it's flying around in the air, so somebody is making their salah in there, what's the big deal about it? The real thing is, the total obedience of Allah Ta'ala. He, when talking about the manner in which he performed the salah, he compared him, so to say, to a fish. And when she's talking about the way she did it, she compared herself to a fly. Now these are not things that these people sat down to think about first. It was just natural. What this tells us about her heart, that she thought nothing about herself. When she came to compare herself to a fly, a fish, mashallah, people really enjoy sometimes beautiful fish they will catch. It become a real joy to now present that fish to a mehman. Fly, everybody just disgusts at a fly. She gave herself the description of a fly, compared herself to a fly, and she compared him to a fish. But the lesson, don't make this the basis for finding out or understanding what is the achievement, what is something to really make, like this is something very great. What is great is what a person has given themselves in the obedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is what we need to now bring into our hearts and minds as we start off discussing that the issue at hand is that moth is with us. It's coming with us all the time. Allah knows best when moth will now suddenly, it will strike, and that will be the end of this dunya of us. We have gone to the akhirat. And in the akhirat, the everlasting life of akhirat starts. Before that, we have to prepare for that. Yes, there are many things sometimes very close to our hearts, sometimes very, very attached to things, but sometimes those are the sacrifices we have to make. Because that sacrifice is what's going to earn the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So, this sacrifice is what we have to now turn to Allah Ta'ala, and we have to become conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But when we make these sacrifices for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then this doesn't go in vain. It's not something that just lost so many, something came, happened, went. No, this doesn't go in vain at all. Just to understand this in the light of one incident, we have all heard the name, the name from Tariq, very great way of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But his early life was far away from deen. He was a champion wrestler and the favorite wrestler of the king. Now, being the champion wrestler, so now if ever he is now in a match, so now the whole place will come now to watch him. And even the king would now come to spectate because he was a favorite. So from time to time, the king will throw up an offer that who is ready to come and challenge Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, and this is the prize money. Now obviously the king is going to be giving the prize money. There's not going to be one small amount, a huge prize money. In any case, once again the king threw this offer and put forward this challenge, who is ready to challenge Junaid Baghdadi, this is the prize, now some very big amount. So, one old person came along with me and he said, I am going to challenge him. So now, this became like a joke. This old person, and he wants to challenge the champion wrestler of the time. Other very, very good wrestlers can't come and challenge him. This old person can't walk straight properly, and he wants to challenge him. So in any case now, when he insisted, no, he wants to challenge him, they said, okay, it'll become like a joke, it'll become some entertainment, some fun. Now sometimes, Allah Ta'ala's nizam, we cannot fathom these mysteries. But Allah Ta'ala wanted something to become apparent for a lesson for us to take today. On this day, in this masjid, this house of Allah Ta'ala, here in this town of Chakiskar, that this incident that happened centuries ago should become an ibrat for us. Allah Ta'ala's nizam. Otherwise this could have happened in some other way also. But it happened, as we would call it, in a very dramatic way. What happened? In any case, the time came now for this match to take place. Now everybody is waiting to see the fun. Now maybe he might, whether it be the first one stroke or the second, or maybe he might, Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah might just blow hard enough on the old man and he'd fall. What will happen? Allah knows. So now they all came to see the fun, excitement now of this. Now the old man is insisting he wants to. So in any case, now when that both of them got into the ring, so this old man also started now just prancing around like as if he's going to also really put up a fight and showing some, the match didn't start yet, so now showing some tricks, so to say. And in that, he came very close to Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi, who was also in the ring already. Now the match hasn't started yet, he is now showing some like jumping around like he had a lot of ability. And then when he got close enough to him, he quickly whispered something to him. What he whispered was, he said to him that, look, I am a Sayyid. I am from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then further what he said was that my family is starving. My children are starving. There is nothing we have in our home. And this is carrying on for a while. So today, if you could sacrifice your prestige and all your honor and let me win, I will win that prize money. But if I win the prize money, then my children will have something to eat. As I said earlier, this could have happened some other way. He could have sat there, waited outside, after Junaid Baghdadi would have come with the prize money after having defeated somebody else. Could have told him the same story. It might have moved his heart there as well. And he might have given him, if not everything, half of it, enough for him to now carry on with his life. But Allah Ta'ala willed it to become in this dramatic manner, so that we could take an ibrat. And the other thing was to show us this lesson that how things happen, what we need to also now put our hearts and minds to this. So in any case, the point here is now, he whispered this and then he just carried on showing his tricks, so to say, and now the match started. And when the match started, Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi, already this is running in his mind, what was just said to him. It was said very silently, whispered to him, nobody else heard. He's the champion wrestler. Now one is being the champion wrestler, even if he had to lose against another very strong wrestler, a very good wrestler, but it doesn't matter how that person too was a very strong and good wrestler, it becomes an embarrassment. And the champion wrestler, he lost. So he was the title holder now, and he's no more the king of the ring, as they say, whatever. Now, that too becomes an embarrassment, that too becomes like a loss for him, big loss, big now sadness for him that he lost. Though he lost against some very strong person. Now imagine losing against one old man who can't even walk properly. Now what an embarrassment that would be. What a joke that would become. Now he, on the one side, was told that this is the condition at home, who they are the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the other side is his prestige, his honor, what's so close to his heart, all this praise of people, impression that now, and now all this will be lost, and not just one is lost, he'll become the joke of everybody. People will start mocking him maybe. What not will happen? And now what a tug of war will be happening in his heart. But in that, he made a decision. What decision he made? That today, all my prestige, all my honor, all my fame, my glory, all this can be sacrificed, but I'm going to give preference to the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he pretended to put up a fight. He pretended to put up a fight. Meanwhile, he knew if he has to fight here, this person is going to fall. So he pretended to put up a fight for a while, just so that it doesn't become too obvious. And the whole secret doesn't come out. So in any case, he pretended to put up a fight for a while, and then now this person, well, whether he dropped him or he just really fell off his own. But now after a while, this pretense carried on, and then the long and short of it is, this old man, he defeated Zuhayr Baghdadi Abdullahi. And the whole public is shocked. What happened here? This old man, and he defeated this champion wrestler, everybody shocked. But now what has happened, this champion wrestler now had to now put his head down and sort of duck out and run away from here, because it's such a now embarrassment for himself and everybody. And this old man took this prize money and went away. But now when he came home and he went to sleep, what kind of sleep he must have had, and what kind of turmoil must have been in his heart? How is he going to come out and face the people? But that night, something came in his heart. And when he woke up in the morning, his whole heart was completely changed. He had no concern and no feeling whatsoever for all this pomp and fame and glory of dunya. There was some different heart. Somebody took out this heart that he had and put a new heart. Now his yearning was that he wants to go and learn how to get close to Allah. He wants to change his life and become a true servant of Allah. So he went and sought the pious people of the time. It meant nothing for him that he lost this title. It's like a person, our children, one time he already passed, but on quickly one incident, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he one day came to the madrasa from home, and when he came there, so now some people were seated there, so he said to them, I saw a very ajeeb thing, he came from madrasa, home, whatever, wherever he came, one of the two places, en route now, he says, today was what an ajeeb thing I saw. He said, what you saw? So now this is the crux of it. As he was passing by, some children were playing. What they were playing with, now the children, now poor little children, parents can't afford to buy any toys for them or anything. So what they would do is, the dung, or the animal droppings, the dung, that would be dried up. And they would make small little things out of it. Now for our purposes now, some little like a clay ball or something like that, whatever. Now they would play with that. Now, somebody sort of took away somebody else's whatever he had made of this dung. Maybe they were competing, somebody grabbed it or wanted to go a fight. So now this fight broke out over this. One was, you know, it's mine, not children. So he said, I was standing there and looking at it, and for a while I laughed to myself. Look at what these people are fighting over, these children. They fight over this dung. Someone could be lying around here. Waste of the animals, worthless, nobody gives any second look to it, they fighting over it. He says, I laughed to myself, and then this thought came, but these are children fighting over that dung, and how often are we fighting over the perishable things of dunya, when we're going to go to the akhirah, it's going to look like dung to us. And we're going to look back and say, but what are we fighting over? So, now that lesson that he gave, now when a person from the akhirah will look down, it will all look like dung to him. And Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi woke up the next morning, all this title was like dung to him. Because the heart changed. When the heart changed, what is this? He says, what he does. Now imagine, sometimes some youngsters get caught up in some things. Now it becomes such an achievement. For example, what? To spin some wheels. Make what noise? Subhanallah. They managed to spin wheels and make a noise. Now they are a hero. Can you imagine what a hero? Subhanallah, what a hero. What kind of medal will give such a hero? But now someday Allah gives him that understanding and tawfiq. Now he's grown up. Now his son one day also spun wheels. And he thinks, Inna lillah, in my young days, what a foolish thing I did. I must doing this now.
And now he was to try to explain to his son, see, even through all this is such a foolish thing. But now that poor son also, he also can't understand it. But now when the priest stands aside, he looks at him and says, but what was this? Now that happened to Junaid Baghdadi Ahmadullahi. When Allah Ta'ala, now this came through what? Now can you imagine, if he won that match on that day, so then what? He got that prize money, and that day he would have won, had enjoyed it, finished. But then he would have passed away, if he passed away in a condition of ease, whatever. 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, he would have been fighting over what he left behind. Even maybe 1 month later, nobody was spoken about it. And 1 year later, nobody heard about it. And after that, maybe Allah will bless some obscure record somewhere. There was once upon a time a wrestler called Junaid Baghdadi, full stop. What else? But can we imagine today where we're sitting? We're talking here in the house of Allah Ta'ala. We're talking on a Jumu'ah. And we're taking inspiration from his life. And what he became of his, in his own right, where Allah Ta'ala took him, made him such a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. But what was the catalyst? What brought the turnaround? There was a sacrifice. Sacrifice of what? Something that was very close to his heart. But it was a barrier in getting close to Allah. And he said, no, come what may, this sacrifice has to be made. Allah Ta'ala put such a situation in front of him that he had to make a very dramatic choice. So his sacrifice was on a very high level. If he did it outside, the whole prize money also, that person was waiting at his house, at his door. You see, you just won, it's now 1 million. But this is my situation, give it to me. And he gave it to him too. But nobody knows anything what happened here. MashaAllah, he did the reward for the charity. But perhaps it didn't make any difference to his financial position in reality. 1 million less, nothing else. He got probably much more than that. Here he had to sacrifice his title. And in which way? For an old man who can't walk straight. That was the sacrifice. Meaning to let that praise and that pomp and that fame and everything go to uphold the honor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is the lesson for us. Our mouth, we started off on the note of preparing for death. How many things are in the way between us and gaining the closeness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because our lives are not according to his Mubarak teachings. How many things he has taught, but we have adopted something that is the way of the Yahud and Nasara, maybe in the way of dressing, maybe in the way of some other lifestyle matter, maybe in how we go about having our weddings, maybe in something else, some social functions, maybe in our mindset. What our thinking is all about, what our aspirations are. So now when that is the case, we are not aligned to the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his Mubarak way, to his thinking. Now that's a barrier. And now just as Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he made that sacrifice and he demolished that barrier. We're lucky to him. SubhanAllah. And today we have been inspired by his incident. We make that decision also in our lives. Whatever are the barriers, learn about deen, everything that deen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us. So anything that's not conforming to it is a barrier. Our salah is not on time, that's a barrier. Our salah is hazard, that's a barrier. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighted tilawat of the Quran Sharif. In the Quran itself, Allah Ta'ala gave the command, Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. If tilawat is missing in my life, that's a barrier. And worse than that, if I'm reading things that are not in order, I'm caught up on wrong social media and whatever else, that's a terrible barrier. Now, like this, we can think about all the other things. These are the things we have to recognize. What are the barriers? And then make a decision, turn to Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah's help, and make this decision, I am not going to allow these barriers to continue. I'm going to demolish these barriers. I'm going to take to heart the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm going to make his mission my purpose in life. I'm going to devote my life for deen. Life will carry on, we'll fulfill whatever our responsibilities are. We have to bring up our children, we'll carry on with that, we'll take care of our families, but our purpose in life will be to uphold the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the mission of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to make our homes homes of deen, to inculcate the true qualities of Iman and the attributes of Iman in our children, in our family. The environment of deen must prevail in our homes, and we ourselves must be prepared for the inevitable reality of our birth, prepare our children, prepare our families, that look, moth is coming to everybody. We all have to prepare for that. It's not just going to be that we carry on. We have to prepare for it, so that our qabr becomes a garden of Jannah, and our akhirah becomes easy, and Allah Ta'ala through His fazal and grace, takes us directly to Jannah and Jannah to those. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the hidayat, and make us among those who become the true servants and slaves of Allah Ta'ala, the true ummati of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayhi, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عاقب امورنا بالخير بيدك الخير انك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. انت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا